You just have to go out there and go with a mindset of being a problem solver, because, you know, if you put the people first, then the money's going to follow. And I'm always going out to for a win-win situation.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter, stand by.
Hey, ADPI Nation, Kevin here. Before we start this week's show, I want to take a quick second to talk about systems. The business systems that you put in place will determine your success and your financial future. Well, I got news for you. No one teaches you these systems, not in school, and unfortunately not in the military either. That's why the ADPI team banded together to create the best and most comprehensive system that anyone out there, no matter their level, could learn from and build upon. We call it our Military Real Estate Investing Academy. Our 80 plus lesson course will take you from real estate newbie to full-fledged military real estate investor and action taker. Click the link in the show notes and use code ATOM, A-T-O-M, at checkout for $300 off today. That's code ATOM, A-T-O-M, for $300 off today. Now, let's start the show. Hey, how's it going, everyone? Kevin Brenner here from the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. I have another amazing guest with me. And today, we're going to be talking a lot about creative acquisitions. We're going to be talking a lot about how to get started. We're going to be talking a lot about how to, we're going to be talking about a lot about a story about a military spouse who's able to not only find deals, but really thrive in the space of just, I love the creative acquisitions. I mean, that's what we're talking about, but just getting started, moving around the country and figuring out, hey, even though what I wanted to do was X, I'm going to find success with Y, and Y is real estate. And it's really exciting. So I'm so happy to introduce Cindy Byler to the show. She's been a longtime member of the Active Duty Passive Income community. And we put this post out there and we said, hey, who wants to come on and share their story? And Cindy was like, me. And she's here. And okay. we had a little like pre-interview and she shared her story. And I was floored. I was literally just floored. It was unbelievable what Cindy and her family has been able to accomplish in a relatively short amount of time by simply, you know, following what's been done by others before. She certainly did not reinvent the wheel here, guys. She really didn't. But what she's going to share with us, like I said, is creative acquisitions and getting started, even though you're PCSing all around the country, like a ton of different times, like more so than most people PCS, more often just given the circumstances. But she didn't let that, you know, she never let that be an excuse to not get started. And her husband and family took that leap of faith. And now they've been rewarded handsomely just a few years later. So Cindy, welcome to the show. And please, if I missed anything, please fill me in there. But also just tell everyone, kind of how you got started in this and what your family's military background is and what your military background is.
Sure. So firstly, I am a spouse. I've been married to my high school sweetheart who has served the last 9 years. He first did ROTC and then commissioned in 2012. I was a music teacher, but I realized quickly that it was difficult to have a traditional career with the frequent moves. When my husband got into school, we had to PCS 3 times in 3 years. That was CONUS, wow, to ONCONUS, back to CONUS. And I realized relatively quickly, after I had to give up my job the first time around in the name of his career, that I had to transition and I had to pivot to make this lifestyle work. A traditional career as a music teacher just wasn't going to happen. I couldn't say, hey, Mr. you know, Uncle Sam, can you please wait to PCSS in March when they're interviewing for the next year? Because if we move mm-hmm. in November, I'm out of job for an entire year. Not to mention the certifications that I have to get at every state. I was certified in 3 different states. That takes time and money. So it was a bit complicated. So after our first move, I gave up my job last minute. They held my teacher's license, like kind of as a punishment. And, you know, I just felt like I wasn't contributing, even though we just had a baby. And so I got really serious about our finances. We paid off our college debt, our car debt, a little bit of commercial, total of $60,000 in less than 3 years on just my husband's income.
He was by just simply honing in on your finances and that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So we did the Dave Ramsey method initially, and I really felt by like creating this budget and being more disciplined that I was contributing. That's what I had to give. Yeah. And there was a lot of sacrifice involved, but then we had this like really strong financial foundation and we were debt free and we saved up an emergency fund, and that allowed us to have a really good foundation for investing in real estate. Now, I didn't know that was what I was going to do. You had talked about X and Y. This was actually plan Z.
I really want to dig in a couple things on the emotional decision. Like what were you feeling when you realized back then that like, hey, I'm a music teacher and I can't do this? Because I feel like that must have been really, really difficult. Would you care to share like what, you know, how you were feeling emotionally about that? And because there's so much stress, you know, me being a former active duty, I just got out last month. I obviously know the stress of moving around and everything, but something we don't focus on so much on the show is our families and our spouses. And our spouses have dreams too, and they want to do things. So how did you cope with that?
So I'm not going to lie. I would say through some personal life coaching, I've just come to terms with it. It's been a process. Initially, it was really hard. I was bitter. I had a lot to mm-hmm. give. I have a lot of potential and I know that, but I also, my family's important to me. And this is, you know, what I signed up for, but it doesn't make it any easier. So I realized I had to make this work. And honestly, you know, I'm going to put it out there. Spouses are mean to each other. They call each other's names and like one of them being Dependa. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the Dependa. You know, I hate it because I felt like I really didn't have a choice. 3 moves in 3 years. My husband is attending this really difficult school and he needed me there like all the way if he was going to be successful. And so, you know, I struggled, to be completely mm-hmm. honest. I struggled with finding my identity. And, you know, that had to morph over time. And I kind of felt like when I was giving up teaching a little over a year ago, that I was giving up on my dream. But what I've realized is that, you know, we attach ourselves so much to like our career, our identity mm-hmm. to our career. But really, for me, I'm purpose driven. I'm influence driven. I want to make a difference. So when I signed up to be a music teacher, I signed up to be with the same students for multiple years at a time. We're going to go through this together. But I finally realized like that wasn't possible either. Like I can't be at one school for more than 2-3 years at most. And
even if your husband wasn't moving around every year, like on a regular PCS schedule, you got 3 years at best.
Exactly. So I have found my purpose in real estate investing, and that's okay. I haven't given up on a dream. I've simply pivoted, and I am fulfilled by all of this and super excited to see where it's going. Now we're making a difference in a different way, in the way of creating better housing, keeping it affordable, hiring contractors, good, hardworking people in our hometown, and that's fulfilling.
Yeah. And I think that you hit it on the head there as far as what fulfills you and that identity crisis. And I think that identity crisis is shared across in the military spectrum, right? Like folks who are transitioning, you know, you've been in a unit, your identity is tied to that service, to that career, you know, if you're in infantry, if you're whatever, it doesn't matter. And when you get out and things change, you kind of feel lost. And even if, you know, even if you're in and you're a spouse and you're supporting your spouse throughout the process, you're along for the ride, and so are the so are children. And there's a lot we can dive deep on this, and it's not necessarily the topic, but I think it's important to mention because there are a lot of military spouses who listen to this podcast to get ideas on how to hone in on that identity, because there's sacrifices, like you said, sacrifices have to be made in order to live this lifestyle. And I think there's certainly an opportunity for folks who are listening right now to learn from you and your story on how you were able to make that shift. And I'm curious, in the future, if y'all ever, settle down or your husband gets out or retires or whatever, would you ever go back to teaching music?
That's an interesting question, and I'm not sure I have an answer to that. What I can say is last year, even though I had chosen to leave the profession for now and focus on our business, I went back and I retook the teacher's test anyway. So I'm still certified in the state of Texas. I have that as an option. At the end of the day, it's about having choices and being able to be flexible and pivot. Maybe I'll get that itch and then I'll go back. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Keeping multiple exit strategies, just like with our investments, but just keeping those options open and supporting your family along the way. I love that, Cindy. So let's get back into finances and your story. Your husband moving three times, what was it, in 1 year, three times? Or
three times over three years.
Three times. So moving once a year, and you guys had become not necessarily financially free, but you cleared the slate as far as all the debt. Do you have any quick tips for folks who are listening who, things that you did to do that so quickly? Because I mean, gosh, clearing $60,000 in those 3 years, that must have taken a lot of sacrifice.
It did. And it really just comes down to being aware of where your money's going and coming up with that big nasty B word, the budget. And not just one time. Like, we did it every month. And don't just have one spouse do it. Like, you sit down and you do it together. You have to be on the same page if you're going to make it work. So it did take a lot of sacrifice. Like I said, my husband was making about 60K a year. So to do that in less than 3 years, we were very frugal. We actually had to sort of get out of that scarcity mindset. That was a process. And now we're more in an abundance mindset. But I'm very grateful for that season because it did set us up for success for where we were going in the investing world. So like I said, eventually I did find real estate investing. I realized, I've got to find passive income. I need a job that I can take with me wherever Uncle Sam might send us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this work. And so I realized a lot of people were finding success in real estate. A lot of the wealthy people, I'm like, I want a piece of that pie.
I don't blame you. Yeah. No, that, and I'm a big believer in, like you said, the big nasty B word, the budget. But I think, my wife and I've been doing budgeting, for the past 2 years now. And it's crazy. We've saved over $150,000 we've saved. And we have that as a fallback simply by it's, and the software out there, I don't know, I use Mint, personally. There's a ton of different softwares out there, but it literally does like most of the work for you. There's some auditing that you have to do, but the biggest thing you said, sit down with your spouse at least once a month, look at the numbers and say, hey, and actually create budgets. Hey, how much on a month are we spending on groceries? How much on a month are we spending on this? It's not hard, I promise you, but you'd be shocked at where your money goes in subscriptions or this or that. And you look at it and you're like, what? I'm spending this money on whatever. Is it actually doing anything for me? Because step one in any real estate investing is getting your own financial house in order. And that's exactly what you did. 100%. So I commend you on that. And yeah, I want to know more about you clean the slate. Now you're getting into real estate. Where did you find out that people were creating wealth with real estate?
So I joined I found the FIRE community, Financial Independence Retire Early. And I don't know that the retire early part will ever apply to my husband and I, at least my husband, but we definitely wanted to be financially independent. And so I followed that for a while. I learned all about travel hacking, and we got more credit cards, which is a bit like, it's definitely different than Dave Ramsey.
Yeah, it's like Dave Ramsey's like, no, don't do that.
But we had the discipline in place, and you know that we were using that as a tool. So I just want to caution that, like, make sure you have that discipline in place. And so I found that a lot of the people who were doing well and were wealthy, they were in real estate. So when we moved from Hawaii back to Texas, surprise, we were supposed to go to a totally different base. But anyways, here we are back in Texas. And I accidentally landed a job. Apparently, music teachers are really hard to come by here. My son had just turned a year old. We had this big move. And I think I was applying to be a sub. And they saw my credentials. And they're like, I had two principals. Please come in. And so I got these two job offers within 24 hours. Wow. And I talked to my husband. I'm like, look, you know, these last few years, they've been hard. And I've been bitter. And, you know, I've learned a lot, though, through this season. And so I would like to go to work and save all this money that we haven't needed in the last 3 years. And we're going to invest that in real estate. And if this works out, I can feel good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you guys continued living the way you were living as when you were, you know, getting your financial house in order. That was your new normal, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you went to work, and all of that money, that was excess. So that's an amazing strategy right there.
Yeah. Like, we're fortunate that we were in a position that we didn't need my income, but at the same time, that took work, you know, mm-hmm. So it's all stacking. So we did save a good chunk of that for all of it really for 4 or 5 months. And then my husband's part of his income too, because all along we were taking the excess, investing it and paying off debt. Now we just are investing. So our first deal came along probably about 6 months after that. It took some work, but yeah. And we were able to fund half of that deal. And then the other half came from some private money.
Excellent. Excellent. So, and this deal now, so what, you know, what type of real estate were you looking into? Because at this time you're in Texas. Did you buy a home in Texas, or were you renting at the time?
That's a really good question. So no, we did not buy a home in Texas. That was an area I did not want ties to long-term, because I knew the property managers are not that great. And when you're a long distance investor, which is inevitable, by the way,
absolutely.
You know, property managers are very important to the job. So we actually had to sit down and talk about that. And we decided, hey, we're going to jump right into this long distance real estate investing life, because it's going to happen. Full disclosure, we did own a house in Kansas at one point. And then when we did those three moves in 3 years, the property managers did a great job. And we realized, oh my goodness, this is possible. So we did have that realization. I think a lot of people allow long distance investing to hold them back, but I'm here to say it is completely possible, very realistic with the right team. So we chose to actually start right off with long distance investing, and we invest in our hometown in upstate New York, where my husband and I are from. We decided that's where our network is, and that's, you know, we just want to focus on one area for a while. And it's worked out.
I think that's a common question that we get in the community a lot is, hey, I want to do this, but I don't know what market to go into. I don't really know where to start. And what I tell people is, start with what you know, grow where you know, right? And you did, it sounds like, exactly that. You and your husband did. Okay, well, we were high school sweethearts. We grew up in upstate New York. And we know this area, our family, we have family ties, we have community ties, we know people up here. Mm-hmm. What a better place to start. Another tip for folks who are listening right now, who are kind of thinking, oh, I want to get into this, where do I start? If where you're from, if you were maybe transient growing up, and maybe you're a military brat, and you don't really have a hometown, consider a place where you might want to retire and start investing there. You're not at retirement age yet, but consider that. And that could be an option for you. Look into that and say, well, you know what? I want to be here anyway. So, you know, or I think I want to be here anyway. So that means other people are probably thinking the same thing. That means that, you know, you might have an opportunity to drive rents in the future. But awesome. So can you tell us about this first deal and how you found it, what it was, what the exit strategy was, the whole thing. You guys were able to save money for 5 months, it sounds like, to fund half of it. And then you were able to get private money, it sounds like.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to say this quickly, the whole story, because it's a really long one. We found this deal. It's off market. Every one of our deals have been off market so far. It was through a realtor that I had used previously, but his aunt and uncle inherited this property, and it was an unwanted inheritance. They did not want to be landlords. And they're like, look, this needs to be fixed up. The bank won't fund it for anyone. We need 50K cash. And I was like, oh, okay. It's a duplex and a triplex. So that's $10,000 a door. Pretty good.
Hold on. The property is a duplex and a triplex? It's like
right next door to each other. Yeah.
Wow.
50K so it's cash. Yeah.
For the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
So you're buying at $10,000 a unit.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now my ears would be like, huh? What?
Yeah. I'm going to make this work. And so we had $25,000 in savings. The other 25 was not there. And I realized quickly that conventional lending, it was too big for a personal loan and it was too small for a mortgage. And so we were in this gray area. We could have gone commercial. I didn't know anything really about that. So I did have a father figure who was like, hey, if you ever need anything, let me know. I know you want to get into this. I don't want to get family involved. Like Dave Ramsey, he's like, don't do it. But at the same time, like, I trust that we're going to pay it back. So I did feel like I was stuck in a corner a little bit. I made that phone call. It was like the scariest phone call of my life. And I'm just like, hey, so we have this deal. It's about to go away. You know, we could use some help. And he's like, how much do you need? And I was like, $25,000. Like, oh my gosh, I got sick to my stomach. And I was like, listen, like even a little bit helps. Like, obviously I'm not asking for all that. He's like, oh, I'll send the check tomorrow. I'm like, what? Okay. Like, wow. Let me go write up a promissory note. Like, let's do this the right way. But yeah. he's like, I'll send it tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll Zell you.
Yeah.
You have Venmo? Let's do it.
Oh my gosh. This is happening. Like, I realize not everybody has that person, and I didn't even truly know I had that person in my corner, but it worked out. We bought it, and then the real work started. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So it was a complete fixer upper. The duplex, fortunately, my husband has some really amazing contractors in his family, which is another reason we chose that area. And so he did the first deal, and he's the best, you know, contractor we've had so far. I wish I could have him always, but everybody else wants him too. But he did an amazing job. He flipped that whole building, I would say, in 3 or 4 months. And we put a total of $33,000 in there into the duplex. The triplex was a whole other story. I don't know if we want to dig into that.
How did you fund those rehabs?
So I'm still working as a teacher. We're debt-free. Mm-hmm. We have these credit cards. Now, I'm going to tell this story because I believe there are people out there who can benefit from this. This is creative financing at its best. And it took some work. I think as a music teacher, I kind of have that edge. But there's this lovely thing called SCRA, Service Member Civil Relief Act. And if you had if the active duty member had a card before they joined the military, they legally cannot charge you more than 6% interest on that credit card. It turned out my husband happened to have one of those cards, and it was actually through Chase, who is even more generous, and they cap it at 4%. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. So we have this card. I think it maybe had a max of like 10,000 at 4%. And I'm like, wow, that would be a really good card to use to get our materials. And then we'll cash flow the labor with my, you know, my job, and then some of his money too. And so we called to try to get that max increased. But
you called Chase.
Yes, we called Chase to try to see if we can get that increased. And they, my husband had like his Equifax blocked or something because of the data breach. But that was such a blessing in disguise, because the guy's like, well, you know, you have this United card that you just got accepted for back when you were working this travel hacking stuff. And that's $25,000. If you want, you can move some of that over to this card. I'm like, wait, this card that's $25,000 at like 16, 17%. You're telling me I can move that over to this Chase card that's at 4%? Because they were both Chase cards. And he's like,
That's incredible.
I was like, oh my gosh. So we happen to have like at least 3 cards through Chase. We started transferring. And then next thing we know, we have a $47,000 credit card at 4%.
Wow. And guys, if you're listening to this right now, that is huge, because if you wanted to go and take a personal loan for $45,000, $40,000, I mean, if your credit's outstanding, you might get 7% interest. You might, or like high sixes. But most of the time, if you just have like, you know, like standard, like 700 point credit score, they're going to be like, okay, cool, 11%. And if you wanted to go and take hard money, they're going to be like 12 to 15% in 2 points. But if you can go and utilize a credit card, and I'll tell you, Cindy, my Chase card, I called Chase. They have a whole military and veterans department. They are offering me, so I had a 0% promotional interest Chase card that I use the same way that you're using it. It's got like $30,000 something limit. I only use it for rehabs on one specific property. And guess what? They're like, hey, we're just going to keep extending your 0% promotional offer. We know it's over, but we're just going to keep extending this 0% until they extended it 2 extra years. And it was just a phone call. And I was like, awesome. Because they see that I regularly pay it off, you know, and my military status and all of this stuff. And they're just like, okay. I was like, I'm cool with that. Yeah. And, you know, I use the cash flow from the buildings to go and pay that down. And it's amazing. It's effectively, it's like free or very, very cheap money. And that's what you have to think about. People get really spun up about credit cards because of what they hear and all of this stuff. But you can, if you know the rules of the game, just like anything, if you know the rules of the game, there's a way to win. But most people just make broad assumptions and they think that, oh, I'm going to, you know, ruin my credit. I'm going to do this and do that. But the whole thing is, I call it kind of like a shell game, like an interest game. What money can you get at the lowest interest rate that you're investing in an asset that mm-hmm. will pay you back? Don't buy a new car that's not going to pay you back. But if you invest in an asset like real estate that will pay you back and you're getting a higher cash on cash return than you are from that interest rate, that's what you need to be looking for. That is the investor mindset. And that's what you guys mm-hmm. have. So I'm super stoked to hear that. And for you to explain that to our listeners.
And if I may add, because I just got done mm-hmm. doing like 5 months worth of bookkeeping yesterday. So the numbers are, they're pretty raw in my mind. There are two types of interests. There's amortized mm-hmm. interest and there's simple interest. Credit mm-hmm. cards are simple interest because they can't tie it to a certain term. They don't know when you're going to pay it off. So it's simple, like across the board. Now, our 4% credit card, that would be, you know, that's probably something you're going to get on a mortgage, right? At 4%, let's just say.
Yeah.
Now with simple interest, it's actually cheaper money. Now every month, you know, we're paying credit cards off, but hold on, let me say that again. We're paying on our credit cards. We'll let mm-hmm. it build up because in our mind, that's our mortgage. So I've had it up to over $40,000 before. It's at 47. And I'm not saying that's good advice for your credit score, but that's what we use. And our credit score is fine, by the way. But mm-hmm. our payment on that has never been more than $500. And of that $500, only 100 of it is going to interest. Now, if you mm-hmm. look at a mortgage, it's just the other way around. About 100 of it is going to go to principal. And 400
most of it's interest.
In the beginning, yeah, because it's amortized. Yeah. It's front loaded. So I just want to, I mean, that can be a little advanced for some people, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Like,
yeah, and
cheap
same,
money.
Same thing for, yeah. And same thing for lines of credit too, depending on where your line of credit is from. You know, I have a line of credit that's off of my stock portfolio, collateralized from my stock portfolio. And that line of credit goes out for like, I don't know, I think on the paperwork, it says like, yeah, it's going to be paid back in, you know, the year 2199 or something. Like, it's just like, mm-hmm. forever, you know, because it's a revolving line of credit at 3.5% interest. So that money that I'm getting, whatever, I think it's $45,000, and I use that for rehabs on the other apartment building, mm-hmm. and that I'm getting at 3.5% interest. But I just, again, I pay it off, and only a small portion of it goes to interest. The rest goes to principal. So if I send them, you know, I think my minimum payment now is like $400 a month. I can send them $2,000 or, you know, whatever, which is a portion of the cash flow. And, you know, I get $1,600 of principal off of that.
Yeah.
Every absolutely. Single month. And that starts adding up. And pretty soon that $40,000 that you have, you know, in a year or so is way, way down. And of course, then your interest is lower. The interest payment on that is lower because it's based off of how much you take out. So there's a lot of creative ways to find and utilize, and finance these deals. Mm-hmm. How do you become a successful military real estate investor? It starts with having a strong squad and trustworthy mortgage broker by your side. Hey guys, Kevin here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to help you fill out your real estate investment dream team. Whether you're looking to fund your first VA house hack, close on an out-of-state turnkey investment, or just have a conversation with a lender who speaks your language, make sure you reach out to ADPI's team of qualified mortgage pros. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team is standing by to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL, D-E-A-L, to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show. You're in this deal. Let's pick the story up.
Anyways, we put $33,000 into this deal. Mind you, we have a very efficient contractor. I've learned that's not always the case. So let's just say $10,000 a door for a duplex. We're at $20,000 acquisition, $33,000 renovation, $53,000 all in. And then we had started receiving rents when we filled it at $1,300 a month.
Whoa. Okay. No. And let me rephrase that. When I said pick the story up, I meant to say pick the story up from here. not speed up, because there's so many things. So I apologize. But you're in this duplex now, you know, $50,000 to buy the five units, but whatever, let's call it $50,000 for argument's sake, and you're in it for $33,000 on the repair, so $88,000. And you said it's renting $1,300 aside?
Actually, it's $53,000 because we have this triplex next door, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So $30,000. Oh, okay. So we're $53,000 all in, and actually I'm remembering the math. It was $800 downstairs or $700 downstairs. Sorry, $800 downstairs, $700 upstairs. So it's actually $1,500. My bad.
So $1,500. So you're way over the 1%. Oh, you're at the 2% rule here.
Like, you know, almost way three. Up. Yeah, in my almost market, three. That's possible. We're very spoiled by the return on investments. The triplex, when that was said and done, it was like my learning experience. I learned so much more than I wanted to. But we're over the 2% rule on that too. So,
wow.
Yeah. And we did get a HELOC on the duplex that took a lot of work. We closed on it while my husband was deployed and in Poland during COVID. Like, mm-hmm. You got to get creative. Like, we didn't have any notary for him to sign his documents. So
of course.
I was like asking the bank, like, hey, can you, your notary, watch him sign it and then he'll scan it over and then your notary can do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a HELOC on that guy, and then we completely burred the triplex. So that was our first deal. It took over a year to finish the two of them, but it's a good portion of our rental income each month.
That's fantastic. So I bet when you bird this, you know, a lot of times when people burr a deal, and guys, remember that's buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. At the refinance stage, they're pooling their cash out, and when you do that, your cash flow from the rentals usually goes down. But if you're at, you know, a 2% rule up to 3% rule on this, you're probably still being able to pull out a decent amount of cash and still get some nice cash flow. Is that the case?
Yeah. So we only did a HELOC on the duplex, but on the triplex, I'm doing the math right now. We bring in $2,400 a month on the triplex. It appraised for $125,000. I think like $86,000 hit our bank account after all of it was said and done. So we did have about $40,000 into the deal, maybe $35,000 to $40,000 in the deal, but we're bringing in $2,400 a month.
That's phenomenal. So that, and that is the power. Yeah. Find the off-market deal, solve someone's problem, put in the sweat equity, and make it happen. And you know, you can hear it directly from Cindy. This is 100% possible. I love this. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Cindy, moving forward, because I know there's some more, there's one deal that I particularly want to touch on because it just blew my mind when we talked about it earlier. There was a deal where you, and I'm going to let you tell the story, but I want to like just frame the story for our listeners right now. You bought a home for $7,000. So I'm going to have you pick up the story from here because I'm sure a lot of people right now probably just like pulled their cars over on the side of the road or like took their notepads out. Or you should, by the way, do that because this story is going to blow your mind. This is another creative finance story that Cindy and her husband were able to do. And it is happening. It didn't happen 10 years ago or 15 years ago when the market was down. It happened recently and it is possible. So Cindy, take it away.
So this was actually our next deal. We call it the $7,000 home. And I kind of feel bad talking about this because it was a home run 100%. It's not realistic for most people, even in this market. But I was into creative acquisitions. I still am. And I went out on Facebook and my friends, I'm being loud about what I'm doing. They see what we're doing with these other two properties. And, you know, investing in our hometown, I know some people, and all of a sudden I have all these built-in bird dogs. Like they're going and looking for houses that Cindy can buy and fix up. And so I just did a post on Facebook and I was like, hey, you know, I would like to buy another house. If you've heard of anybody wanting to sell their house, I'm willing to pay you a finder's fee. I didn't even say how much. I didn't know how much. I was just like, I'm willing to pay you a fee. If you tell me about a house, then I buy it. Within 30 minutes, one of my high school friends reaches out to me. She's like, hey, Cindy, I don't know if you remember so-and-so, but her mother just got divorced. She's moved on. She's living with somebody else. Actually, her fiance. this house is empty. They're, you know, paying taxes on an empty home. Code enforcement's on them because it needs work. There's also a foundation problem. Everybody hates the F word. And so it's just this big, beautiful opportunity. And so I had my contractor go over. I'm like, hey, please look at this. Like they want $7,000 for it. It's a four bedroom, one bath house. It's well over 2,000 square feet. I don't know the exact, and a full basement too. Wow. So yeah, I was like, go over, look at it. How bad is this foundation? And he goes over, he goes, Cindy, if I had the money, I would be buying this. I was like, okay, awesome. Let's do it. So it just so happened that my husband was flying in the next weekend. Now we've closed deals from afar too, but he happened to be flying in for a wedding and it was a perfect opportunity.
Back home.
Yes, back home. Right. He was headed home anyways. So it was a perfect opportunity to turn this into a nice tax write-off.
There you go. The trip. You mean the trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whole trip.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Every time I go home now, I'm definitely a show and face. You know, I'm not a CPA, but we write off all the things. And it makes taking your leave to go see family a little less painful.
Because you're going to take care of business and then you're seeing your family. And guys, and you're absolutely right. That's such a hidden victory for people who are listening, because if you have business and you're talking about business, even if you're going out to lunch, if you talk at least 50% of that lunch about business, you can deduct that. Mm-hmm. You just have to track it, and definitely talk to your professional tax advisor or CPA or enrolled agent to find out more of the rules on that. But fantastic tidbit there, Cindy.
Thank you. Yeah. So he went home. We closed on this house real quick. It turned out like housing is really scarce there. So somebody wanted to move in like immediately. I'm like, whoa, this is not up to our standards and it's not safe. So we actually, we fixed the foundation issues $8,000 later. So we're up to like 15K and then we had people in there renting at 800 a month. Now that's well under market value. We could have easily gotten 900, even as crappy as it was looking. Mm-hmm. But they were, it was safe. They were in the understanding that this is a work in progress and we're going to have to work together. People are going to be coming in, you know, fixing the siding kind of thing. And they were totally okay with that. They had a roof over their head. They were happy. So it's been rented out like really since the beginning. So I did all of the math. We have completely birded that property as of March, refinanced it. When it was all said and done, we put about $30,000 into the property. We purchased it for seven, so $37,000 all in. It appraised for $85,000. And yeah.
That is unbelievable. So how much were you able to pull out then?
So my bank only does 70%. So at the end at the end of it, 51's hit our bank account. We only was $37,000 all in, not to mention the equity. So at the end of the day, we basically got paid $55,000 to do this.
And someone's still renting it for between $800 and $1,000 a month, mm-hmm. which is the 2% rule.
Yeah, it's at 800. Like
you're cash flowing. But you're probably cash flowing $400 to $600 a month, easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be more than that. But actually, the payment, yeah, at least that much for sure. Yeah. So we're really happy. Definitely a home run. And then we keep moving the money onto the next property. You know, I forget exactly how it was said, but it was something along the lines of people with a poor mindset save money. People with a wealthy mindset move money. So we're constantly moving money. We're like, honestly, we don't take anything out of the business at this point, but we're constantly just giving back and we're able, it's just mind-boggling to see how much we've done. We just hit 2.5 years a couple weeks ago. And
that's crazy.
And we're up to, we have a good portfolio going.
I mean, that's fantastic, Cindy. And for our listeners out there, you know, this is just so inspiring. When I first heard this deal, I was like, wow, $7,000. Yeah. I spent more on a motorcycle that has paid me nothing than going and doing this. And it's just unbelievable, the creative financing, how to get creative. And I love you said this a while ago, and you said you're very vocal about what you do. And I think a lot of people out there who are getting started or even who have already, you know, done a couple deals, they feel like it's like, oh, well, it's my side hustle and I don't want to like tell anyone or anything like that. Don't do that. Let people know, because you're going to inspire people in your circle, whether that's, you know, a Facebook post to your friends on Facebook, whether that's going into your phone and just calling people like you did when you called, you know, you said the father figure in your life who ended up loaning you $25,000. But like, you're able to just go and find what you need, but you got to tell people and you got to present that opportunity to folks. Remember, you're never asking for money. You're always presenting an opportunity to folks. And, you know, people love a good deal and they love, you know, that I love that post where you're like, hey, if anyone, you know, back home knows of someone who's looking to sell their house, I'm looking to buy and I'm going to offer a finder's fee. What finder's fee did you end up offering that person who showed up?
I'm embarrassed to even say. Okay. So
if you're so embarrassed, you don't have to say it.
I will. But, so here's the thing. We spent about 30 seconds talking. There is no standard for a finder's fee.
Of course not.
For me, I'm just always looking for a win-win situation. I was able to help the seller get out of her situation. My friend spent 30 seconds with me on Facebook. So I also forgot to mention, we paid $7,000 for it, but she recently went through the divorce and was awarded the house. So before we did any work to it, it was already appraised at $51,000. So I walked into $44,000 of equity right off the bat.
So the owner sold it to you before getting it appraised.
No, it was appraised. Because she knew how much it was worth.
Why did she sell it to you for $7,000?
She was done. She just didn't want it.
It was just like, it was a bad memory to her. This house was just bad juju.
See, I mean, because of the foundation, I don't think any banks were going to loan on it. Guys, there are people like this out there. Mm-hmm. You just have to,
that's true.
You just have to go out there and go with a mindset of being a problem solver, because, you know, if you put the people first, then the money's going to follow. And I'm always going out for a win-win situation. I think so often people think because you want a deal that you're going to go out there like some sort of vulture, but that doesn't have to be the case. I can't think of a single deal that I've done that any seller has had seller's remorse. Not at all. You know, I've helped so many people from unwanted inheritances to, you know, losing two husbands to cancer in the last 4 years. Like, they were just done and they're out there. You got to look for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's such great advice, Cindy.
And I paid her $100.
Yeah, you paid her. No, but that's like there's nothing. I mean,
we were both happy.
You think about it.
Very happy.
Yeah, you're both happy. And you know, at the end of the day, like you said, she's helping you solve a problem. You know, and you offered a finder's fee, and you talked to her. That is what it is. You know, for her, she has no idea probably how to do what you're doing in real estate. She has no idea the potential of the opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's why we educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's why you're so involved with the FIRE movement. That's That's the sweat equity that you put in into your own education in this space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you deserve that. And, you know, yeah, you know, offer whatever you want. There is no standard, but found the deal and you kind of picked it up from there direct with the owner. There was no agents involved because no one would really take the deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you're good to go. So it's such an inspiration to see you, you know, doing what you're doing. And as you guys continue to do it long distance and you continue to travel, before we get into the bonus round, what's next for you and your husband and your portfolio and your business? What are you guys looking at? Like, what's the future look like for you?
So right now I'm super like focused on my big goal. I'm 29. I'm about to turn 30. So there's something about turning 30. You got to like do something big. So for us, our goal is $10,000 rental income per month. And we are definitely on track for that. I'm shooting for the end of the year, but at worst, March, which happens to be our 3-year anniversary as well. So it's totally possible from afar.
That's fantastic.
So our next, we're going to pivot a little bit. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I do know, you know, we'll have this income coming in and we're not overly leveraged. So the net profit is not too far off. And we're going to, I plan on maintaining some of the properties we have because they're all very old houses. So I want to go on the defense and get my guys in there and be like, okay, what needs to be done? Like, yes, we've renovated all of this, but we haven't necessarily looked at the big CapEx expenses, mm-hmm. you know, on some of the properties, not all of them. And so I want to do that. So that way I'm not like far away, always getting these crazy calls like, oh no, you know, it's flooding.
Yeah.
I don't want any
of
that. Right. So that's our next move. We do have 4 other units in queue, a triplex and a single family home. After that, I'm just going to like let off the gas a little bit and look at more passive ways to invest. Shout out to Alex Brashars. She's an awesome like lending resource. And so I'm looking at possibly doing some lending. I'm currently mentoring somebody in my hometown because I really am purpose driven and I want to make a difference in our hometown. I remember growing up there and feeling so unworthy. And I feel like a lot of people there settle for crap and it doesn't have to be that way. So I'm training her up and maybe one day we'll, you know, come along as her lender, just as we had somebody else come along as ours. So, there's a lot of things in the works. But the hope is to be more passive as we go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the dream for everyone, right? You know, you start out at active investing like you guys have. You've built up rental income to the tune of almost $10,000 gross rental income per month. Guys, that's $120,000 a year in gross rental income before a W-2.
Which is way better than a teacher makes.
yeah, maybe. and, you know, like... you know, I guess unless like you're the professor of the Philharmonic Institute, maybe you make that much, but you know, it's incredible what you've been able to do in just 2.5 years before you turn 30. And again, such an inspiration. We are, however, running short on time. It's not you. It's me because I am so, like I said, I love this story. I love your story. And I think you're going to inspire a lot of people listening to this podcast. But let's get into the bonus round and jump right into this. So question number one for you, what book or software has really been crushing it for you lately?
The book Who Not How. I feel like you've probably heard this a lot lately. Mm-hmm. I know Dan Sullivan's in there. There's a second guy.
Dr. Benjamin Hardy.
There you go. Yes. So Who Not How has been an amazing book. I read that this summer. I was in a really big imposter syndrome state, like, oh my gosh, I'm over my head, even though I've done this before kind of situation. And that book came into my life at the right time and I was able to get things moving along and I saw it playing out. And so I just want to encourage y'all to read that book. It's going to be up there with like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, it's an awesome mm-hmm. book. So read it.
That's fantastic. We're going to have links to that in the show notes here. So everyone just scroll down. If you're listening on your phone, scroll down, click the link in the show notes and it'll take you right to the page to get that book. No, fantastic. And you know, it's all about your network, y'all. It is all about your network. You do not have to do everything alone. And that's really a key to business, you know? So surround yourself with like-minded individuals in this community, outside this community, whatever. That's how you're going to get stuff done. Question number two, who's your biggest hero and why?
So my biggest hero is my mentor, Jackie. She came into my life when I was 7 years old. I grew up in a very broken family, and she showed me that I had potential. I have way more potential than I was led to believe. And I definitely wouldn't be here today without her.
That's phenomenal. Well, shout out to Jackie. Hopefully she's listening to this. Jackie, we love you. And you have mentored a fantastic real estate investor who is now mentoring other people and paying it forward. And that is the abundance mindset that we love. So shout out to Jackie. Question number three, what do you like to do for fun?
So I really, beforehand, I used to like play the flute all the time. I'm not so much in the music world now, but I really just love to get out and hike, especially if I know there are no snakes around. That's hard to do in Texas. Hawaii had no snakes. That was lovely. But I just love to get out and be in nature and marvel. And so I'm just a quick throw in here. I just found out that there's this thing called it's a sabbatical program that the military is doing, and it's changed everything for me. So I definitely encourage people to look into that, but basically they can take up to 3 years off. And so my husband and I are kind of planning a whole year to take off, right at around.
Are you serious?
You don't know about this? I just found out. Wow. And it's like, because you know, our children are graduating right around the time he hits 20 years, and we want to make memories while they're like, you know, teenagers, and we can go places before they're off to college. So it gives me more purpose. It's like, yes, I got to work harder so that, you know, our business can fund this year of travel and marveling God's creation. Like, I am so pumped. Mm-hmm. And we get to create those memories with our children. So,
and that is incredible. And right in the middle of you telling that story, the SIRI went off on my Mac and asked me a question. And I think that interrupted your story, but I want to take it. No, it's fine. It's fine. Cause, we're live on Facebook, but that's okay. Kelly will edit this part out, but I want to, can you just talk more about that sabbatical program? Because, let's just take that from the top. Can you just talk about that sabbatical program, what it is? Because I've never heard of this before.
It changes everything. And I want to be careful about what I say because I haven't done a lot of research on it. So I was just talking to another military spouse and she's like, yeah, so-and-so has taken a sabbatical. I'm like, what? That's a thing? And so I guess for the last few years, they've been doing pilot programs of this sabbatical leave up to 3 years. I think a lot of it is for like education purposes, but also it seems like they're going to be pretty forgiving on the reasons why, or like go take care of parents for a year. And mm-hmm. really at the end of the day, this is another retention move. And so what they saw with this pilot program is that it was successful. And so back in May, they made it permanent. So this is pretty hot off the press and not a lot of people do know about it. I just found out about it last week. But like I said, it changes everything. Just 1 year off would be amazing. So from my understanding, it's retention. You're going to be signing up for more time. So let's say mm-hmm. it says what I read word for word was for every month you take off, you're going to owe two. So my understanding, okay. if you take 1 year off, you'll owe two. But the way ADSO works, if you're going to put in 20 anyways, I believe it can be done like at the same time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just encourage you to read up on it. And maybe that changes the game for you too. Like, I'm super excited about that.
That is really cool. Yeah. The only, you know, active duty service commitment I'm familiar with is when they go and send you to school or send mm-hmm. you for an internship or something with a corporate company. And then you come back and you tack on a service commitment. But like you said, if you're going to do 20 anyway, it's usually served in concurrence and it's okay. But that is a really, really interesting program.
They keep your healthcare intact for the whatever time you're gone. But you only get 2/32nds of your base pay. So I did the math. It's about 5 or 6%. It's not very much. I think my husband will be getting like $450 a month. It's not nothing that you're going to be able to survive on, but the opportunity to have your time is just mm-hmm. priceless. So anyways, going out to see nature is something I like to do for fun.
No, but this is an awesome nugget that you're dropping here, because I've never heard of this, and there's always these new pilot programs that are coming out.
And you know,
we know the
military
has a retention problem.
Yeah,
and it's permanent now. So if you're listening to this, look into that. Do you know what the program's called, Cindy?
I don't. Just research sabbatical.
Google will figure it out.
And the sabbatical's in there. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's okay. Try and look that up if you're listening to this right now, and fire it through the Google machine. I'm sure you'll get something back. Okay. The final question, Cindy, you've been dropping nuggets left and right here, but I'm going to ask you for three more kind of capstone nuggets of wisdom that you can share with, I think specifically a military spouse, because you've been able to identify with a ton of folks here, just getting started using creative financing, but doing it from your perspective as a military spouse adds a different element, and we don't get that often. So if there are some military spouses listening right now and who are trying to get started, what would be some three nuggets of wisdom that you would share with them?
So the three nuggets of wisdom that I came up with, first of all, and this is something I live by, the obstacle is the way. Do not let that deter you from your progress. Take it on. Let it be fuel to your fire. You know, this lifestyle was quite an obstacle for me personally. But ultimately, it led to me being a real estate investor. And I wouldn't necessarily say like that's my identity, but I'm definitely tying my purpose into that. And I think it can be so hard for us to feel purpose in what we do as a military spouse. You kind of just feel like you're being dragged along sometimes. So the obstacle is the way. Also, on the other side of that, I'll never forget this conversation I had at a networking event in Florida. And I was talking to this person. I was like, man, you know, we decided to invest in the upstate New York because we're moving all around. And that is hard. And I don't want to be that person. And he's like, wait a minute. So you go and you move to one area and you stay there for 2 to 3 years and then you move to another and then you move to another. I'm like, yeah, I don't want that. He's like, well, that sounds like the perfect amount of time to really get your network going and really establish a good business. And then you move on to a new market to be there in person. And I was like, whoa, this thing that I viewed as my obstacle all along really could be an opportunity. And that was such a really cool mindset shift. So I haven't necessarily dug into that approach yet, but I just want to encourage you to, you know, to see the opportunities. They're all over the place. And just a simple mindset shift such as that could make all the difference. And then the third one, from somebody who has PCS'd quite a few times, I think we're at 6 in 9 years. Take advantage of your PCS. You know, you have to start all over anyway. And there have been duty stations where like, oh, I really picked the wrong crowd here. Or, you know, this person just sucks all the energy out of me. No, I want to encourage you. You know, they say they too shall PCS. Well, when you PCS, really take advantage of that and be intentional about who you put in your circle. I know a lot of ADPI communities are holding get-togethers in different cities. I'm in San Antonio currently, and I went to one last month and was great. Just like be intentional about who you surround yourself with, because that will make all the difference in your progress. So those are my three tidbits.
No, I love that. And that last one, I cannot foot stomp enough. Not only, you know, if we're going to have a lot more ADPI meetups. That's in our, you know, at the company level, that's what we're trying to do, right? Get people to meet up and promote this stuff all over the country as we continue to expand at an astounding pace. But just surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals, if there's no ADPI meetup in your location, don't use that as an excuse. Go find a local real estate investing meetup. Go find your local RIA and just go to a meeting. If it's virtual, log in and go to the virtual meeting. If it costs $5, it costs $5. Who cares? the network that you're going to, like, you know, like you said, the obstacle is the way. And I mean, if you're getting started, seriously, seriously consider investing in your education. Mm-hmm. Surround yourself with like-minded individuals who have also invested in their education, because it, yeah, like, think did. About it like this. Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you guys did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you go and find someone and your network is now their network and their network is now your network. So if you have a problem, hey, I need a contractor to go and do this and all my contractors are busy, well, I'll just reach out to my friend who I met at the local RE, or I reach out to someone I met in you know, in the private mastermind in ADPI or whoever. You know, what's theirs is mine and what's mine is theirs now. And they're like, oh yeah, I have this other guy. He'll be at your place, you know, whatever. Or here's his number, mm-hmm. or here's her number, or it doesn't matter. But that is the power. And people get so caught up about like, oh, it costs money and it costs this. But the amount that you learn in such a short amount of time is so much more valuable than just sitting on the sidelines and waiting for something to fall into your lap.
Yeah. Take my children's advice. Take the shortcut. And if I may, if you're just starting out and you find somebody who could be a mentor or might have value to add, always ask yourself, what kind of value can I bring to them? But also, if they give you advice, I've found a lot of people who know what they're doing and they're in a position to be a mentor. They don't always freely just give that out because they've done it before and it hasn't been reciprocated. So if they give you advice, if they take that time to give you those golden nuggets that they have, I want to encourage you, do it. And not only mm-hmm. do it, but then tell them that you did it and then tell them what you got from it. Because that's what's fulfilling. It's not that they don't want to give value. It's that they're protecting their time and their efforts. And if you show them that you have honored their time and efforts and you take action, that will make a huge difference in how you go forward.
Yeah. No, that's wow. That is I couldn't have said it better myself as a coach to, you know, 200 plus students right now. Yeah, it is about that. It's about fulfillment. You know, I want students who want to learn and want to take those action steps. That's why we call them action takers. And it's really, really important. So with that in mind, Cindy, for someone who's listening to this podcast and who is going to take action on all the nuggets that you just shared, and then is going to call you or email you and contact you to tell them that they did it, how can they do that?
Absolutely. Especially to the spouses out there, please, I would love to help you. But just in general, I function through Facebook very much so. So if you look up Cindy Beiler, I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook. Feel free to friend me. You'll see that we have lots of mutual connections probably. And then also my email is cindy.beiler@gmail.com. REI as in real estate investing. I'm also on LinkedIn. So all the things, but Facebook and email are the best ways to get a hold of me.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I say this every single episode practically, or it sounds like I do. Reach out to our guests, please. They're here. They're spending their time because they want to inspire, because they seek fulfillment. And I think, Cindy, you did a fantastic job of inspiring the military spouses out there who are listening to this episode right now, who I hope jump off of the couch or jump off of wherever they're listening, or they leave the gym or wherever they're at, and they start taking action on the things that you said, because you know, you're a leader, and it's really, really impressive what you and your husband have been able to do. And I think the sky's the limit. I really do for the both of you. So I'm very excited to continue to follow your story. And I thank you for your time and sharing your story on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
No problem. We're gonna be on again. So listen up, y'all. Okay. All right. We'll see you, Cindy.
Bye.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guests, and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com. to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.